Hey you, how's it going? My name is Ruby Price and you are listening to the 41st episode of Fresh From The Scene. I hope you're having a good 2024 so far. What I will take this opportunity to do is signpost you to a link in the description to the Sports Podcast Awards. Obviously very different to Fresh From The Scene subject matter, but my other podcast, Grid Talk, is nominated in the category for Best Motorsport Podcast of 2023 in the Sports Podcast Awards, and you can still vote if you are listening to this before the 28th of January. There is a link in the description. If you do have less than 5 minutes, there's a link in the description. Please go give us a vote. We're up against people like Sky Sports, the BBC, the official Red Bull podcast. And if you've been looking at the social feeds for this podcast and wondering what is going on, why has there not been any activity whatsoever on a platform formerly known as Twitter? Yeah, I'm not posting there anymore. If you want to find out what's going on with the podcast, follow my account at Rubes001 on Instagram, or you could also follow at Rubes Media on Instagram, R-U-U-B-E-Z. That's the best way you're going to be able to keep up to date with what's going on. And with that bit of housekeeping out of the way, my guest for this week's episode of Fresh From The Scene is Noah Fintz, soon-to-be pop-punk megastar, supporting Enter Shikari on their arena tour. We talked about working with McFly, we talked about the creative process of the music videos that he's been releasing, and we also talked about his debut album Growing Up on the Internet, which is coming out on the 8th of March. But on that note, let's get on with the show. Noah Fintz on this week's episode of Fresh From The Scene.
Listening to Fresh From The Scene with your host, Ruby Price.
Welcome to Fresh From The Scene. Today's guest is the absolutely incredible Noah Fintz.
Oh yeah, hello.
Hello, how are you doing, Noah?
I'm all right, yeah, good. 11:30, not too early.
Not too early. Yes. So the way I normally start these off is asking you basically to define Noah Fintz to people who've not heard you.
ADHD in music form. I have a short attention span, and inspired by like rock and punk and hyper pop and that kind of stuff. So I'm a bit much, but if you like a bit much, you'll like me.
ADHD in music form, I think, is the most succinct way that it could be used to describe anything from Noah Fintz I've listened to, at the very least. But speaking of listening to Noah Fintz, this year, in fact, in the space of 2 months, you've got your debut album, Growing Up on the Internet, coming out. Influences, like, you know, ranging from like The Prodigy, Nirvana, Kesha, is one mentioned as well.
Yeah.
Tell me about Growing Up on the Internet. What can people expect from it? What's gone into it?
God, a lot. I feel like every single year I have like this massive realization about myself. And the realization in 2023 was about how like fucked up growing up on the internet with an audience has been. Because it's kind of just been normal for me because I've had a following since I was 15. But then I feel like recently things have started to grow and pick up. And I feel like during COVID, when everybody lived their entire life on the internet, the entire thing has changed. So a lot of the album is just me like processing that, thinking about how fucked up it was that like some weirdo nonce got me tattooed on him when I was 15, like selling butt pics for top surgery money, just like stuff like that is what inspired like the theme of the album. But what to expect, I mean, like a lot of experiences that I'm sure a lot of people relate to, but also like other realization, probably autistic, got an assessment next week. So there's a lot of
Good
what's
luck.
Wrong with me songs. Thank you. It's mostly just like where my brain has been out for the past year, but in a way that like I think a lot of people haven't really realized the true extent to how living our lives on the internet is going to impact our lives and our kids' lives in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Like in my work recently, we were talking about how, you know, online safety and digital safeguarding and things like that are almost not quite new, but needing to be re-looked at because of the way that like are obviously, you know, we're constantly online, we're constantly connected to supercomputers compared to the things that we had. Like, I started doing YouTube stuff in 2008 on like a handheld like phone, which had handheld phone. I sound like an absolute boomer right now.
Like a Nokia with a camera.
A Nokia with a camera that had the lowest quality camera possible and stuff.
Like Square Video.
Yeah, not even Square Video. It was awful. Well, I had computer time, you know. I went to it, well, mostly when I was at a friend's house, but people now, you know, they're given a phone from the year dot. I would agree with that as well. Segueing back into growing up on the internet, obviously it's a bit of an evolution of the style and sound that we've been getting from you. Obviously the first two EPs were sort of, I'd say, straight up pop punk emo stuff. This is, you know, I mean, bringing a bit more sort of electronic stuff into the forefront of it. But it still sounds like a good like progression. You can still see that journey.
Yeah.
You worked with producers like Tom Michener, Stefan, and a few others, including what's on my list? Is it Laurent? You know, who obviously did Chainsmokers and stuff. Like, how did that sort of come about, that, like, you know, evolution and stuff?
I feel like the longer I've been doing music, the more I realize that everybody kind of just knows each other. So I don't know how exactly that was set up, but I know that he's written with my friends in the band called Soap. That used to be The Time. So maybe through mutual stuff like that, or just like my manager. I have no idea how I end up like meeting these people, but if we get on and we write something well together, then I just stick with them. So like you mentioned Steph and Mitch, like Thomas Michener, I've been working with them since like day one. But yeah, it's kind of all over the place. But anytime I meet any new producer or writer, I'm like, oh, so you know like 10 of my friends. That's weird.
Yeah, like I've got a few friends who've also done stuff with Mitch, and like Mitch has been on this podcast, you know, we're friends. And like it's like, oh, you know, so and you also know so and so, and then they know so and so, and all of that. And it's very insular, but at the same time, I find all of those people will welcome anyone into their circle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're the nice ones.
Yeah, definitely. But also, I have to definitely talk about this. Like, McFly are my biggest inspiration. You got an opportunity to write with Danny and Dougie from McFly. How was that? Because I imagine anyone, like, in my position would give anything to be in that room whilst that was going on.
I mean, yeah, it was. So, like, I met them all for the first time. Like, my second ever show was a festival that they were headlining. So, like, while I was side stage, like shitting myself, Harry, and I think Danny came and talked to me, being like, hey, you excited? Blah, blah, blah. So like, I met them through that and then ran into each other at events. And then my manager was just like, want to do a session? I was like, yeah. But like, yeah, it was just fun. Like it wasn't weird. It was just like hanging out with friends. Like we went in and they're really welcoming. And I feel like their kind of view of writing with new people is so much better and facilitates a better writing process than so many other people. So like you would go in the room, be like, hey, what's your name? You're Noah. Cool. We've already Googled you. We already know what you're about. We've already listened to your songs. We're already really excited about it. And then they just ask me like what I've been thinking about, how I've been feeling, like what's the kind of stuff that I usually write about, what my influence is. So for a little bit, we just listened to My Chemical Romance and just spoke about that. And then obviously writing came. It was fun. It was probably like the most fun I've had just like with new people, because we'd sit there for like 10 hours and for half the time we'd be writing and the other half we'd just be like taking the piss. But yeah, it was fun. I mean, like it was me, Danny, Dougie and Steve Patel from
Lost Cologne,
and he's the best dude. He's like he'll be in the corner, we'll be like coming up with chords and he'll be like headbanging. It's so cool. But yeah, we would just like sit in a circle and like play guitar to each other and then pick stuff out. I had to explain to them what TERFs were. I had to explain the whole J.K. Rowling story. I talked about Posey Parker. Like I gave them like the TERF playbook, because the song we wrote together was Lovely Ladies, which was entirely about that. But yeah, it was just fun. It was just really chill. I felt really relaxed.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear, you know, like they get completely on board with, you know, explaining the TERF stuff, because you know, I feel like we've probably both experienced it where, you know, you've had that person that you've looked up to and then, you know, they've said something or something along those lines.
Well, that was the thing with them, because I was just like, because I know they're McFly and they have the name. like, if we're releasing this song, I just need to let you know like what the response might be. I entirely get it if you don't want your name to a name attached to it, but there's like a bit in the middle of the song that it was audio ripped off from a TERF at an anti-trans rally. So we couldn't use that actual audio in the song. So we just got Dougie to do it. So like the midsection is just Dougie saying that shit. And I was like, look, like, I don't want to get you in trouble. He's like, no, go for it. Fuck him. Just fuck him. And I was like, yeah, no, they're great. Cause yeah, I've definitely been let down by a lot of people that I grew up looking up to.
Yes, absolutely. And speaking of like, you know, anti-turfy music, obviously you released Scumbag last year because we are in January, which I'm still coming to terms with. Obviously that's in the music video at the very least very obviously pointed at you know, certain subjects, which for the sake of legal reasons I won't say on this podcast.
Who knows?
There's been accusations made at people. You know, the music videos that you've made, they look very fun to make. Tell me about the sort of process, because obviously you as a online video creator as well as things, like, is that you go, oh, I've got an idea for this video, or is it sort of more of like a collaborative process?
I mean, it's like it's collaborative. It depends on the music video, because a bitch has been burnt out for a long time. So like for some of the music videos, I'll be like, I only have this idea. I can't think. I trust you. Just do something with it. So for like a few music videos, it's that. But then other ones will like sit together and just like go through a storyboard. Like we have I have a song called Stupid, and the music video is just like a rom-com of me falling in love with a rat. And that was just like, oh shit, I want to do this. And then this happens. And then this happens. And there are specific things in the music videos where I'm like, okay, well, I want to be a giant clock for 3 Day Headache. I was just a giant clock. And that was all I could provide Luke, who's the director, who edits, directs, he does a great job of everything. But yeah, I mean, it depends on the song, but it's mostly just like, I trust Luke with my life when it comes to that kind of stuff. Cause he grew up on the internet. Like he was a YouTuber. He knows entirely like what having that kind of audience feels like. And he's just so good at his job. So yeah, it's fun to just get together with friends and just be like, yeah, we can just make something dumb and stupid and it'll look sick.
Yeah. And I know what you mean about like Luke also growing up on the internet. He was one of the channels that like was one of my most watched channels for, you know, if he ever gets to the point where he makes videos again, I'm sure I will watch them.
Yeah.
Watching that sort of creative process develop, as you know, he's evolved as a creator as well and made films and, well, film bracket s potentially, I don't know, there's always talk about stuff like that. But you know, did you at least get your bed back after they took it from the set of 3 Day Headache?
Unfortunately not. That was literally like, so Luke, that was just Luke's spare bed. Like he'll turn up and be like, right, so here are all my belongings. We're going to break some of them. Don't worry if this breaks. Also, I'm going to take this cupboard. It's going to be not mine now. But like, no, I never got that back. That was always. But there are some things that have been lost. There's a music video called Kickin' Trash where I just walked around in a giant mattress costume and we didn't want to chuck it away. So it's just under my boyfriend's bed.
Why not? I mean, it's a good place to keep a mattress, I guess, at the very least.
Yeah,
certainly fitting. Yeah, so coming up in early February, there is a tour going on with the legendary Enter Shikari. Mm. Last year as well, you did the sort of residency shows with them. Was it sort of always planned to do the two like tours with them? Or was it sort of, you know, they did the residency and it was like, oh, no, he's sick. Let's get him back.
Well, yeah, I obviously did those residency shows and like, had the best time. I was terrified because like it was my first support band, my support tour ever, and they've been a band since like the year I was born. So like they have a very established fan base, very established vibe. But they were just sort of like, Rao invited me into the green room one night. It was just like, let's get to know each other. Cool, great. But no, I didn't hear about the tour this year until I was on tour in the US, and my manager was just like, got good news and bad news. Bad news. Because of the good news I'm about to tell you, we're going to have to completely change the tour plan that we had for your headline. But good news, Shikari want you to play arenas. I was like, okay, cool. So yeah, I didn't know anything about that. And I was like, are you sure? Like, are you good? And the feedback that we heard is that they just liked me. So yeah, I had no idea. I was very shocked when I got offered it. And yeah, they're really cool.
Yeah. I feel like as well, just sort of, it goes to show that just being nice and like, I mean, I feel like Enshikari have made a career out of being nice. Every time I've interacted with them, they've always been incredibly cheery. I bumped into Rao at Vegan Camp Out and he just saw him at the other side of a room, waved at him and he walked over.
Aww.
Yeah, you know, just being nice can still get you somewhere, I feel like, in the industry that, you know, has developed.
Oh yeah,
I feel like that's something that I've seen being touted as like one of like the songs that you've sort of got on this Growing Up on the Internet record.
What do you mean?
Something about the bio that I saw at the very least mentioned brown nosing being needed and things like that.
Oh, have you listened to the album? Have you been sent?
No,
it?
I've not been sent.
Oh,
it.
So there's a song on the album called Rise and Grind.
That's the song.
Yeah, it's just like a piss take song about the fact that I don't like networking. And I don't like the brown nosing entirely. Like I've grown up in like the YouTube scene and like the influencer thing and like there's that whole thing in that kind of industry where people like you'll go to events sometimes and people will be like, oh, how many followers do you have? And if you don't have whatever they think is a decent amount, like they don't give a shit about you. And like social climbing and that kind of stuff, I fucking hate that. And I fucking hate that like part of my job in some people's eyes is just like sucking up to people until they like you. And I just can't stand that. And I can't stand people sucking up to me. So I just wrote a song about it. It's entirely a piss take. The lyrics are fucking ridiculous. So yeah, I'm excited for that one to come up.
I'm looking forward to it. Like I completely also know what you mean about, you know, people like sort of viewing the channel's value based entirely around stats and stuff. And it's like,
yeah.
I've seen some of the best videos that I've ever like seen on small YouTube channels, you know, which back in 2008 would have been considered astronomical YouTube channels. And it doesn't mean that it's less or more valuable, but
yeah. And it's a thing that like people base their friendships off as well. Which is the biggest issue for me, because I'm just like, I'm just friends with my friends. I don't give a shit if you have a following.
I usually end these with a quick fire round, but before I get to that quick fire round, obviously we've mentioned the arena tour that is coming up. You've also got a US tour this year, second time or third time in the US?
Third.
How is obviously doing the US versus UK sort of compared? Like, how do those sort of two touring cultures compare?
They're very, very different. Because I started off before I got signed, I like had an audience and like 40-50% of them were in the US. So I'm lucky that I can even go there in the first place. But in terms of like the differences in the UK, people move around a lot more. They jump around a lot more. American crowds are so loud. And I don't know if it's because I'm British, and maybe that's a thing that because like I'm only there once a year and that's the only place they can see me. Whereas if you live in London, you'll probably run into me at some point. They're so loud. They're so much more intense. Americans in general are just way more confident. So the questions that you get asked at Q&As and when you meet them are, I love it. But then in terms of like being on tour, like the US is a massive place. Like it's huge. Mm-hmm. And like I've done 3 month long tour. Well, my third month long tour is in a few months. So the experience is just like, it's way more tiring, but also the people that you're on tour with, because you're in a tour bus the entire time, you become a family over a month. So yeah, there's things I like about the UK, things I like about the US. The worst thing I think for the UK is just that like, there's not enough places, so that by the time you've done like a week, you've kind of done the whole thing and then you have to go home. Whereas the US, it's like, it's not a holiday, but it's an experience more.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you wake up and you're still in the same country, but in a completely different place. And whilst you do obviously get that in the UK, because, you know, literally villages completely change culture. It's obviously just sort of, I think, vastly exponential in the US in terms of how different it is.
Yeah.
But then I guess one last thing before the quickfire round is, what do you want people to get out of Growing Up from the Internet? Or is there anything that like you'd be happy if someone took this away from it?
I feel like I never really have an intention of like what I want other people to think about stuff that I make. It's more just like writing is therapeutic to me. And I wanted to make an album that I thought was good. But I guess it's mostly just that like where my brain is at with the internet and that kind of stuff and social media is just like, I've accepted that it's fucked. and that it is going to be fucked, and I fucking hate it. I also love it for different reasons. Like, I wouldn't have, I'd be a completely different person without it, but I feel that, like, I want people to take from it. It's just like, yeah, we're all fucked, but at least we're fucked together. Like, that's kind of the vibe, because I don't have the answer that, like, a 14-year-old who's having a terrible experience being cyberbullied. But yeah, I think just, like, a communal, oh shit, this sucks, but at least we have each other kind of thing.
Yeah, a very High School Musical approach to it, of we are all in this together.
Yes, my favorite.
Absolutely. So, yes, jumping into the quickfire round then to wrap things up. Generally, it's sort of A or B. There's a few open-ended ones, but, you know, the idea is it's quickfire. But if you need to, like, there's two ones that usually some people say, oh, can I check my phone? And that's Song and Repeat, an album of, like, 2023. But let's get going with some quickfire round. So, go-to comfort food.
Oh, God. Oh, sausages.
Sausages. Any particular or just sausages?
Just chipolatas.
Okay. MIDI instruments or real instruments?
Oh, real instruments.
UK or US shows?
They're both for different reasons. I think London's always my favorite just because my friends and family. So UK just for that.
Yeah. Streaming or physical media?
Streaming. I like having physical media, and I know it pays the artist better, but just like the fact that you can search whatever you want and it's immediately there is, it's unbeatable.
Yeah, absolutely. Bedroom or studio? Studio.
Bedroom. Comfort, please.
Comfort, absolutely. On a tangent, my old housemate used to do a music, is a music producer, but in order to get one of his artists that he was doing something with, like, fully comfortable, he was like, okay, how do you normally play guitar? Well, I sit on my bed and play it. Okay, cool. Yeah. Let's go to your bed and let's record what you're doing, because that's where you're going to get the best results. So comfort all the way. Comfort, yes. All the way. So, yes, song on repeat.
Currently Stuck in My Throat by Ruben.
I've not heard that. I'll have to listen to it afterwards.
It's real good.
Yeah. An album of 2023.
Sunburn by Dominic Fike.
Another one I need to add to the list. I've listened to a lot of 2023 albums in 2024.
Like, oh, okay.
I completely missed Fizz. I completely missed the newest Holding Absence record.
I love
Fizz. I've fallen in love with The Secret to Life, and not just because you take one word and change it to The Trick to Life, which is a Hoosiers record. Again, showing my age. but yes, so then, where can people find more from you other than just the internet? And is there anything else you want to plug or shout out?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, growing up on the internet, the album coming out March 8th. I'm on tour with Shikari in February. I'm on tour in the US in March and April. And yeah, I mean, like, you can't just find me on the internet. I'm not giving you my postcode. Google no offense.
I'll definitely bring it up. No offense. but yeah, thank you very much for joining me. I've had a lot of fun with this. And yeah, I will see you in Leeds on the 9th of February.
Sick. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, supporting Enter Shikari.
Hell yeah.
You're listening to Fresh from the Scene with Ruby Price.
Thank you very much for listening. I do hope you enjoyed that. If you did, please share it on social media. It's arguably the only real way for anything independent to get some form of traction these days. If you've got any friends who you think might enjoy it, there's also word of mouth, the most often overlooked form of promotion of anything. Yeah, just whatever you can do, really. Whatever you want to do. Whatever you fancy doing. I don't really care too much, to be honest. Like, but it is always nice to know if people have actually enjoyed it. And you can always leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or a 5-star rating on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts now. There's links in the description to anything that you should need at this point now. Don't forget to check out Noah. He's supporting Enter Shikari on their upcoming arena tour, which starts in Leeds on the 9th of February and I think finishes at Wembley. Yeah, I'll be back soon, hopefully, with another episode of Fresh from the Scene. But in the meantime, if you want to see what's going on, like I said at the start, follow me on Instagram at Rubes001 or Rubes Media. And after all of that rambling, I shall see you next time. Adios. Bye.